Question for you. What do you do when you've got really exciting news to share? When you've got big news, something really, really exciting, how do you share it? What's the best way that you do that? We hear a lot of news at the moment, don't we? And a lot of it is very sad. A lot of very, very sad things and very scary things on the news at the moment. But the good news that I want to talk to you about is the good news of Easter, the biggest day in the Christian calendar, because this is the day we celebrate really big, really good news. Do you remember what we saw last week? Jesus died. He died because of a problem this big. He died because we've said no to God and yes to me. He died to make us friends with God. He didn't make us friends with God as a reward for our good behaviour. Some people think that if we do really good things and are really, really nice to people, then God is going to give us good things and let us into heaven. But we're not always nice, are we? Only sometimes. So maybe if we try really, really hard and do our best, God will make up the rest. Well, that won't work. Because the big problem, us saying no to God, the problem that's this big, is just too big for us to fix. Even if we were the nicest, kindest, best person ever, it still wouldn't be enough. The problem's just too big. That's why Jesus died, to make us friends with God forever. That is what we saw last week. But the next question we have to answer is, how do we know what Jesus said was true? Yes, he definitely died. But to know he fixed our problem, he needed to not stay dead. And that's what our true story from the Bible says this morning.
That was fun. Right. Jesus, because of a problem this big, came and died on a cross. Just like he said he was going to do. He definitely died on purpose instead of us. And his body was put in a tomb with a massive stone rolled across it. He definitely died and was definitely buried. But how does that work? Rising from the dead seems just so impossible, doesn't it? Well, we're going to have to do some detective work to help us understand the evidence that Jesus is alive. Now, I was out in the garden earlier and I found my Easter evidence box. It's very, very exciting. It tells us all sorts of things, lots of clues for Jesus' rising from the dead. So, can you remember what happened? Verse 1 is going to appear on the screen for you now. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay, clue number 1, the case of the empty tomb. Or in this case, the case of the empty coffee cup. Now, there was coffee in here. Can you see? There's a couple of dregs in there. What happened to the coffee? Where did it go? I could have poured it away. It couldn't. We know there was coffee in there because there's evidence that it was there. But I'm going to tell you, as your curate, who generally tells the truth, that I drank it. I drank it. That's where it's gone. So there's the evidence for that. Jesus' body was gone. What happened to it? Could Jesus have just fainted on the cross and then got up, rolled the huge stone away, beaten up the soldiers and ran on his merry way after everything that happened to him? No, that's even more ridiculous than believing Jesus rose from the dead. After everything that happened to Jesus that day, he definitely died. There is no debate about that. Could have his disciples broken in and stolen the body? No, they couldn't have done that either. They weren't trained soldiers. They'd have had to get past Roman guards who would have easily overpowered them. And the days when the disciples were told, stop talking about Jesus or we'll kill you, that would have been a time to produce a body. But they didn't, because they hadn't hidden one. And we know that because of the reaction that the empty tomb gets. Verse 4 is going to pop up on the screen for you. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Wow, just imagine being there. I'd have been really terrified because it is so easy to make me jump. All someone has to do is just poke me and I'm like, ah! Scary times. But did you see what they were asked? Why are you looking for living people in the place where only dead people are? Jesus isn't here anymore. He's alive. That is clue number two. Now, there isn't an actual physical clue in our box for this one because we've all got one. Okay? The second clue is one of these. Mouths. Telling people what had happened. Witnesses are really important, aren't they, for building a strong case. Back to my empty coffee cup. I have told you I drank this coffee. You can either believe me or not. The second clue is mouths because of the messengers from God that appear in the tomb. Now, you see, these messengers are from God, and God can't lie. God can't lie. It's impossible. Neither can his messengers. They must be telling the truth. They say Jesus isn't here. So that was clue number two. Here comes the next verse. Here we go. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Clue number three is a book, but not just any old book. The Bible, or Bible, as we like to pronounce it. Why is there a Bible as a third clue? Well, because see what they've said. Remember how Jesus told you this was going to happen. You see, Jesus told them he was going to die, and he told them he was going to rise again from the dead. Some people think that Jesus' death on the cross is a tragic accident or a huge mistake, a massive failure. But Jesus knew it was going to happen. He knew the only way to solve the problem that is this big, us saying no to God and yes to us, the only way that can be fixed is through the death of someone who is fully God and fully man on the cross. So the women shouldn't have been surprised to see the tomb was empty, because if they'd remembered Jesus' words and they'd read through the Old Testament part of the Bible, which is the only thing they had at the time, they would have known that the Saviour, the Messiah, the King, God's Son, had to die and would rise again. He can't lie. And so the women remember his words, don't they? And they rush off to spread the word. So they become part of clue number two. They've remembered Jesus' word. And so they use their mouths to tell people that Jesus is alive again, that the tomb is empty. They've spread the message of what they've seen. But do you see what happened? Here we go. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Oh, no, you must be thinking, how silly. If God has said something, it must be true. Jesus is alive. How silly to not believe. Well, if that's your reaction, then great. That's really good news. But actually, we need to think about how big this is. Because it's not normal, is it, for dead people to come back? It's not normal at all. It's really, really odd. Some people think it's really silly. It would almost be like if you go out and play this afternoon and then you come back into the house and tell everybody who you live with, there's a flying spaghetti monster outside. Just wanted to check. That would be how silly this sounded. And in fact, there are some scientists. There's a guy called Richard Dawkins who's got the brain the size of about three planets. But he says that to be a Christian is just as silly as believing that there's a flying spaghetti monster outside. Now, Professor Dawkins is much cleverer than me. He knows things that I just can't ever see or understand. But I'm afraid when it comes to being a Christian, he's just got it wrong. I'm afraid, because it's not silly. Plenty of real clues that Jesus is alive. And there's one more in our passage. Did you see? Peter runs to the tomb. Now, Luke doesn't tell us this, but the other gospel writers tell us that John was with him. And John gets there first, and he believes when he sees the empty tomb. Peter arrives afterwards, and did you see what they find? Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Clue number four. He finds these strips of linen lying around. Now, these strips of linen had been what Jesus' body had been wrapped in after he was dead. And now they're just found neatly folded up in the tomb. Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, Jesus' body is gone. Jesus doesn't need those grave clothes anymore. He is risen again. He is not where the dead go anymore. He is alive. If you were stealing a body, you'd take the grave clothes with you. They didn't do that because the body wasn't stolen. Jesus is alive. Peter's still confused though, isn't he? Off he goes, wondering, oh, I wonder what happened. But later on in Luke and in other Gospels, we read how Jesus appeared to his friend Mary. And then he appeared to two people walking on a road to a place called Emmaus. We'll learn about that next week. He also then appeared to his friends. Jesus is alive. Now, I'm setting a challenge for you. Can you remember the four clues that we had? Can you remember them? Just have a chat, try and remember what they are. And if you can get them all right, then send me a message and I will give you my respect, or maybe something else when lockdown's over. Who knows? I'll give you a minute. Okay, your time is up. They're coming back. Here they come on the screen. Clue number one, the empty tomb. Who moved the stone? There's your question. Number two, clue number two, our mouths and our eyes, the witnesses of what was seen and spoke of. Clue number three, word. Jesus said this was going to happen. Clue number four, grave clothes left behind because he doesn't need them anymore. He is risen again. And there are plenty of other clues as well. Like, did you know, fact fans, in those days, what ladies said wasn't seen as important as what men said? Rubbish, isn't it? So, if Luke and the other gospel writers were making this stuff up, they would not have had women be the ones who found that Jesus' tomb was empty. Because people wouldn't have believed it. It's miraculous. It's true. The biggest clue out of all of these, we can look at all sorts of things, but the biggest thing that Jesus wants us to do is to believe Jesus' word. To believe and remember Jesus' word. Even though they haven't seen him yet, the ladies and John believe, even though they haven't seen. We can't see Jesus now. We weren't there. But there's enough clues for us in the Bible, because the Bible is how God speaks to us, and God can't lie. The Bible tells us that Jesus did die for our sin. He did rise again to win. You see, he died because of a problem this big, and that problem is fixed. Death has been squashed. Where he goes, we go. We will live forever after we die because of what Jesus went through for us. Jesus rising from the dead is huge. Paul the Bible writer, even says that without the resurrection, Christianity should stop. It's that important. We need to believe it. And we need to believe it because of what's going on around the world as well, don't we? There's a lot of bad things going on TV, isn't there? There's a lot of bad news, a lot of sad news. And without meaning to scare anybody, today, Easter Sunday, is meant to be the day in the UK when this virus takes the most lives. There's a really big problem going on. Death is coming. But we as Christians have good news for life after death. Death still takes us, but death does not have the last word. You see, because Jesus is alive. We can believe he's alive. We have all the evidence we need in here. If you've never considered the claims of Jesus before, get hold of one of these. Read. Think. Get in touch. We'd love to explain to you the hope that we have. That Jesus is alive. Where he goes, we go. We will be with God forever, alive after we die. That is concrete, true hope. If this is something you believe and you are rejoicing in this morning, then remember Jesus' words. Remember that death is not the end. Jesus is alive. Remember that when you're sad. Remember that when you're fed up. Remember that when you're worried. Look for ways to tell people this amazing news. We all at Poynton Parish Church, St George's and St Martin's, wish you all a happy Easter. We're sorry that we can't physically meet with you as we normally would on a Sunday, but we look forward to seeing you when we can meet together again. We'd love to see you. I'm going to go off and eat some chocolate now, because I imagine that's what most of us are going to do. But before we do that, let me pray. Dear God, thank you so much that Jesus is alive. Thank you so much that you have saved us from our sin, our saying a big fat no to you. Thank you that Jesus came to die for a problem this big, and that he is alive. Help us to be happy in that truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.